2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome on in. It is KSL's unrivaled, Alex Keery. Scott Mitchell on the road tonight. Just landing in Los Angeles for the Utes versus the USC Trojans down at the Coliseum. I don't know if you've heard yet, Mitch Harper, who's filling in for Scott Mitchell. I don't know if you've heard yet, Mitch, but the Utes haven't won at the Coliseum before.
I've heard that. Word on the street is that it's been a long time.
It's been 100 years, man, since they haven't won down there. So we're very excited about a show that we're going to bring you tonight. We've got a lot lined up, including in the next 15 minutes or so, 13 minutes or so, BYU legend quarterback Ty Detmer is going to join us on the program here to be talking about his running out of the alumni flag that's going to happen on Saturday. The first time that Ty Detmer has been back at the BYU stadium since being dismissed as the offensive coordinator. And so it's an interesting thing. I've got a lot of questions about Ty. And Mitch, you reached out and said, hey, man, you want to come on the show and talk about this? So kudos to you. It's kind of what you do on Cougar Tracks and on Cougar Sports Saturday as well. But I'm interested to see what Ty Detmer's feelings are on coming back and what the emotions are going to be like. And first, agreeing to do it means you're probably in pretty good standing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I think Ty, you know, is in a good spot mentally as far as he's kind of moved on. That chapter at BYU is in the rearview mirror. But, yeah, the last time Ty Detmer was at LaVille Edwards Stadium, BYU lost to UMass. I mean, that was the last time Cougar fans
have seen Ty Detmer
in that stadium. So it'll be great to see him on Saturday against a nationally ranked team carrying out that team flag. And you know, I'm curious to hear about his relationship still, if at all, with Kalani Sitake. So
sure,
a lot of great things to discuss with Ty Detmer.
We're going to kick off the show, though, kind of put Mitch through the paces here a little bit, because we're going to have a discussion about that Utah versus USC game, going down to the Coliseum, what it means for the Utes. We've got so much to talk about on the show, but we kick things off every evening, as we always do, with The Cut at 7:05.
The Cut at 7:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
All right, so as it stands, the Utah Utes are going into the Coliseum favored. Not something that happens very often. I mean, the Trojans are coming off that loss to BYU. What does that do, Mitch, to the psyche of Clay Helton and his program, and what it means, and what are the keys for the Utes to be able to beat USC this weekend? Because this is where their season starts and kind of ends too. I mean, like, the whole idea of being able to win the Pac-12 South certainly doesn't end if they lose to USC, but a college football playoff outside chance certainly goes away with any losses anywhere. And so this one's a big one for Utah, and it's one where you can pounce on a program that is going through some stuff right now.
Well, and something you just mentioned right there, pounce on USC. Who would ever thought that Utah, a program coming from the Mountain West Conference to the Pac-12, could have a chance to eventually pounce USC? That opportunity is in front of Utah coming up tomorrow night. And Utah did it at home in Salt Lake, but Utah wasn't viewed as a potential playoff team last year. This year, everything is in front of Utah. And I think as far as keys for this Utah team, I mean, I think you got to get the ball early and often to Zach Moss, because this USC team, we saw them last week in Provo. They're good. I mean, they got individual talent. Their wide receivers are off the charts, insanely good. They're going to be NFL players. But I think you look at the whole body of the roster at USC, it's taken a significant dip compared to where they've been maybe at the beginning of the Pac-12 era when Utah first got into the league. You know, I think Utah is in a situation where they got a better overall 85-man roster scholarship players, and that's something I never thought I'd be saying, Alex, when Utah joined the league.
Well, you tweeted something out. It was brilliant last week after the win over USC by BYU, and it was just a very simple, like, hey, BYU had just won in overtime. The crowd had just, for the second time, stormed the field, and this tweet went out right afterward, and you were just like, look, here are all the four-star guys and five-star guys at USC, and here's what BYU has. And it's nothing compared to what you get at a program like USC.
6 5 stars at USC, 41 four-stars. BYU had 0 5 stars and four
stars.
Right.
That, I mean, and now I will say Utah is similar in this, I mean, in terms of comparison, because you talk about all the stars that show up at USC, even versus Utah. I mean, Utah will certainly have a number of four-star guys, but not 41, and they're not going to have anywhere near the 5 5 stars either. So this is a program that is always going to have more talent than everybody else around them. It's just about whether or not the coaching is going to be there. What interests me is to see, after Utah has basically taken care of business against everybody so far, BYU, Northern Illinois, and then Idaho State last week, how efficient that offense has been. But this is really where the end of the year is kind of made in a game like this. And it's interesting that it's the first conference game at all is against USC, because Utah can really start something special if they get a W this weekend against USC, because the chances of them being able to do something really amazing, like going to the college football playoff, and I know that's a crazy thought. Winning the Pac-12 is what the goal is, right? But they'll tell you they want to do even more. Scott wrote it down on a post-it last November. Utah is going to go to the college football playoff, and I called him crazy. But now, every win that comes along the way, it becomes a little less crazy and a little less crazy. Is there a possibility of this game, this USC weekend, how big is it? Now, there's a story up on KSLSports.com right now that Kyle Ireland, our colleague, wrote up. And got some flack for, because he put out there that the FPI of ESPN has USC as favorites in this game, which no one on the planet respects the FPI,
no,
Mitch.
Not at all. Tennessee is ranked higher than BYU right now in the FPI. That's all you need to know.
So I don't think people care about what the FPI means, and it certainly doesn't put USC as an underdog. But I will say there's this little part of Utah fans that go, do we belong? Because you've never won down there at the Coliseum. And there's still a little bit of that, hey, we're playing USC at their place, and that's a big one. And this has implications further and further down the line. BYU can make an impact on what Utah's schedule looks like the rest of the year. If they could beat Washington, if that clears the road a little bit more even for the possibility of the Utes to be able to figure out how to be that number one team in the Pac-12.
Well, if Utah wants to be a playoff team, and I think to be taken as a serious threat nationally, they got to win this game. I mean, really, the perception, the image of the Pac-12 conference rests on Utah's shoulders, and I think that's a unique dynamic here, and this is the first big stage within the conference where Utah's got the target clearly on their back, and I think that's going to be one of the interesting dynamics in this game, is that, you know, Utah has always been a program that's thrived as that chip on the shoulder, the underdog. Don't write them off or else they're going to surprise you. Now they're the hunted, and that's a fascinating dynamic, because USC does have those individual talented players that in one game could rise up and shock folks. But still, I feel like Utah, with across the board, their talent, I mean, guys like Bradley and I, once a three-star recruit, now a guy that if he was ever in the portal, you know, every school would want that guy.
Yeah.
Utah is just a far more talented team, and I think they have to not only win, but they got to win in dominating fashion, because if they do, they are going to be the talk of the West, and I think a team that's going to be legitimately in that playoff conversation on a national level.
57500 is the text number. We want you to weigh in on this weekend's games. You got Washington, of course, and BYU. You've got Utah and USC. Later on in the show, we're introducing a new facet to the program, and that is a weekly check-in from the stereotypical Utah fan and the stereotypical BYU fans. Every week we have to hear the same, just like average out all of the crazy opinions from the Utah fans out there and from the BYU fans out there, and we're going to roll them all together in some very, very good breakdowns from stereotypical BYU and Utah fans coming up in just a little while. When we come back, though, we're going to have that interview with Ty Detmer. Man, I'm excited for you guys to hear this. This is going to be fun for us to have Ty Detmer on the program. Lives in Arizona now. What's his relationship with football? What's his relationship like with Tom Holmo? What was that conversation like to get him to come back to BYU versus Washington this weekend carrying out the alumni flag? Don't miss it. It's up next. Ty Detmer joining Mitch Harper and myself, Alex Keery, on KSL's Unrivaled. Stay with us. All right, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell normally with us, of course, on the road tonight because he's got the Utes that he's got to cover down in L.A. tomorrow. So we wish Scott the best. And, of course, while Scott's away, we had to interview one of his buddies. So Ty Detmer, yes, former BYU great Ty Detmer going to join us on the program right now. Ty, thanks for being with us tonight. The first thing I said was Scott is going to be jealous that we have you on the night that he leaves.
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed him.
Now, Scott's always funny because he always talks about how, I mean, you guys played in similar eras, but not, you know, I mean, right around the same time. And he always talks about, hey, I was going to go to BYU. I was going to be a BYU guy. Did you see what Scott was doing up at Utah and go, man, that guy's good?
Yeah, I actually played against him my redshirt freshman year in 88. And then he got hurt for our 89 game. So I told him he owed me about another 150 yards because maybe they would have scored a few more points had he been playing. I could have played the fourth quarter.
So you have the 57-28, and then you have the 70-31 the next year. So that back and forth is always fun. This is a special week for you guys. I know that and this is a cool thing to be able to have you coming back to Lavelle Edwards Stadium and running out the alumni flag for this week against Washington. The throwbacks are going to be in full effect, the white helmets with the old school Y, the old end zones checkered and everything. What did that conversation go like? Who called you and got this rolling and got this thing in the works, Ty?
Tom Holmo called me. He had mentioned something last spring that they were going to try to honor some of the award winners from BYU because of the 150th anniversary of college football. So I think it's been in the works for a little while now. And so just happy to be able to come back and spend the weekend with some former teammates. Mo Elwinibi will be there. And I know known Jason Buck for a long time. So Derwin Gray will be back, another teammate. So it'll be fun to see those guys and share some old memories with them.
Yeah, seeing those former players has got to register some memories, but also probably the first time you've been in the stadium since, you know, 2 years ago. What are you expecting your emotions to be like, Ty, being back in the stadium and the place you played for and coached for?
Yeah, it's a special place. Had a great opportunity to go there and coach as well as play, and I'll have my grandson's 11 month old, so it'll be his first time in the stadium. Oh, he won't remember a bit of it, but it'll be neat to get a few pictures with him and my daughter and son-in-law, and another opportunity just to, share some old memories and great experiences that I had there.
Ty Detmer joining us here on KSL's Unrivaled, former BYU quarterback and offensive coordinator. What's the relationship now like? Have you talked with Kalani Sitake this season at all or last season? I mean, what kind of a relationship do you have with Coach still?
We share texts, from time to time. So, I still root for those guys and pull for them and hope nothing but the best for them and the program. You get pretty close with guys when you're working together every day, for a couple years. And so still a good relationship, and I know it's a busy time for him during the season, so I'll just shoot a text here or there and vice versa from him. So looking forward to seeing those guys, seeing the players, some of them we recruited, and have a chance to, see them now that they're off of missions and catch up with some of them a little bit. So it'll be a neat experience just to be able to go in and see everybody share some good times with them.
Yeah, BYU right now, Ty, is 2-1 and coming off two thrilling victories the past 2 weeks. And they're led by a quarterback in Zach Wilson, who really, I think, has kind of captivated the minds and excitement of BYU fans everywhere. What are you
What are your thoughts on Zach Wilson's play through the first 3 weeks of this season?
Well, he's played well. You know, one thing that Zach brings to the table is he makes plays with his legs and is able to extend plays and at times, you know, take off and get a first down on his own. So he's, you know, kind of takes a little bit of pressure off of the coaches where you don't have to call the right play every time because he's been able to show that he can make plays. I felt like people were maybe putting too high of expectations on going into the season after the finish he had last season. And then he missed spring ball rehabbing an injury. So it's taken him, you know, I feel like he's gotten better each week and more comfortable in the game. And so I think you're starting to see that experience he had last year now start to come forth with the way he's playing at this high level at this point in the season. So I think, you know, he'll continue to improve as the year goes on and continue to do big things.
Ty, one of the things that Scott always says, and I think the guys who are former players that have played for a long time or spent a lot of time in the league, they go, I watch a game differently. I don't actually – Scott says he doesn't enjoy himself watching football games because he gets too analytical. But if you were to analyze Zach Wilson, what would you say to him, you know, if you were kind of could give him some tips as a guy who has been in that pocket down in Provo before?
Probably just be careful taking too many shots down the field as far as when he takes off and runs. he takes a big hit from time to time, and some of that you can't avoid because you're trying to get a first down. Maybe it's third and eight, and you get to the marker, and you gotta try to get it, but you know, he's done a good job of avoiding. I thought last week he took a couple hits that maybe could have avoided and just, you know, protect himself a little bit. But part of that's being young and gung-ho, and you don't want to take that away from people either.
You know, Ty, I've heard you say in the past that you love football even more than your passion for hunting. So I got to think, you know, Ty, you've got that itch to get back in the game of football in some capacity. What's your involvement with the sport right now?
I'm volunteering at a local high school down here in Phoenix area, Gilbert Castile High School. And I say that loosely speaking. They said, well, we can get you a stipend. And I said, well, if you pay me, then I'll feel like I need to be there more. So it's probably better. I just volunteer because then I can come and go as needed. So, you know, if it's 113 out, I usually miss practice and wait for that 105 day. So, but it's fun to be around, fun to see what other coaches are doing and how they're doing things. And so I just kind of a casual observer most of the time.
Is it weird being out of Texas? I mean, I know that your wife is an Arizona gal, right? And so that's one of those things that drew her back kind of to there. You said, hey, we've done all these years following me around, so we'll go down to Arizona and kind of be with your family. But do you still have the T-14 ranch?
I do, yeah. I've got a hunting season will start first part of November, that first weekend in November, so I'll get to spend a lot of time down there in the coming months, and got some pretty much a full schedule booked for this year. Got quite a few hunters booked and coming in, so I can't wait for November to get here and get to spend a little time down there for a couple months.
You can't squeeze Scott and I in on a little, you know, weekend mm-hmm. personal trip there?
Oh yeah, we can squeeze you in. So,
Ty, we saw this list today, and it's very appropriate because we're going to talk about it on the show a little bit later. But ESPN is part of their 150th, you know, celebration, 150th year, 150 years of college football. So they do all these fun lists that are totally irrelevant, but at the same time, they're fun still to talk about. And they've named their, I think, top 150 quarterbacks. Is
top
that what
10.
It is? Top 10.
Top 10.
Wow. Ty Detmer cracks the top 10 at number 9. Is that about where you should be? All time. All time in college.
I don't. That's probably a little high.
Oh, come on, Ty.
You know, there's been some great players, and it's always a great debate. You know, it's the area you played in, or the system you played in, or the people around you. You know, all those things always come into play. And so I'm just happy I had the opportunity to be at BYU. A lot of great things happened for me there because of a lot of great people, and just, you know, thankful that I've found the right fit for me going to college, and things were, you know, couldn't have been better. So that's why, you know, I'm excited to get back for a game next weekend, because there's just, you know, it was the perfect fit for me at the right time, the right place, and the right people. So nothing to complain about.
All right, he's Ty Detmer, BYU great, and according to ESPN, the 9th best quarterback in college of all time. And that's even debatable when you look at the rest of the list. You kind of go, move Ty up a few more spots.
Definitely. So. Tim Tebow number one. Are you kidding me? Ty should
Tebow
be up there.
Tim Tebow number one. I can't believe that. All right, Ty, thanks for hanging out with us. T14ranch.net is the website. And looking forward to seeing you this weekend carrying out the alumni flag.
Thanks, Ty.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right, we come back. We've got more on KSL's Unrivaled. Riley Nelson, from one quarterback to the next in BYU's history, the current radio analyst of BYU football on the radio. Riley Nelson going to join us, talk about this Washington game. It's the guy who's been reading up about it all week. Stay tuned. News, traffic, and weather right now on KSL's Unrivaled. Stay tuned.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome on in. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery. Scott Mitchell on the road tonight, of course. He does he's the analyst on the radio, of course, for Utah football. And Mitch Harper, Cougar Tracks, Cougar Sports Saturday host, joining me here in studio. Feels good. Look, I love Scott. You know I love Scott. But the whole thing is that, you know, there's this thing where I can bounce ideas off of you that I'm not going to get as ridiculed for, okay?
That's right.
So there's that. Speaking of radio analysts for local football programs, Riley Nelson joining us here on the program, of course, does the analyst job on the BYU side of things. Riley, thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. You know, when you said speaking of, I was worried you were going to say speak. Ridiculed.
Speaking of, let's open it up. Let's start ridiculing right now. We just had Ty Detmer on the show with us, and of course his reputation precedes him. And you know, I think there's not a person in BYU, you know, in Cougar Nation who doesn't love Ty. And one of the things we asked him about was, because he's going to run the alumni flag out this weekend against Washington. I can't imagine that's not going to be an amazing moment when Ty Detmer makes that return, and fans are just going to be all over this guy. They love Ty so much. I can't imagine anything but just a standing O for Ty, and some of these guys are going to be back running the alumni flag out.
Yeah, I think it'll be a moment. And obviously, I didn't play under Ty, but I did play under Brandon Dolman, who kind of a similar story. Obviously, Brandon was there earlier or longer than Ty was, but they had the same stint as coordinators, as they both had 2 years, and then they were let go by the respective head coaches. And while I know Ty and would consider him a friend, I'm a lot closer just because of Coach Blair with Coach Dolman. And I know that
hold on, we got Riley's. Riley, you there? Your phone kind of cut out there for a sec. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm still here. Right, is it better now?
Yeah, I hear you better now. Go ahead.
All right, I've tried not to move. Anyway, so going back, these guys in Detmer, and of course Detmer's in the legend. I mean, he's in the short list, right? It's probably Young, McMahon, Detmer, you know, maybe throw Wilson in there for the absolute short list, or Wilson or Nielsen or Bosco or one of those, and Dolman's kind of in that next tier down. But although that, you know, that senior season that he had with Luke Staley was absolutely one of the more memorable and special ones at BYU. But so these guys came; they were coaches. The coaching stint didn't work out how everyone hoped it did, and they had to be let go. And there's just some hesitancy there, because obviously during their time they were criticized by some in the fan base, and it's never a good thing to have to be let go from your station. But the reality is, what you find out over time is that they all still love you. They were all great, love you as a player. If anything, they have more appreciation for you, and they're grateful for your services coming back to do a coach. Because as time passes, well, you know, fans out there kind of get emotional in the moment. As time passes, they understand that, you know, a lot of different things and circumstances go into the success of a coordinator. And so it's great for those guys to come back, to be embraced by all the fans, by all of Cougar Nation, and to assume their place and feeling comfortable in the stadium, on campus, and anywhere in the program they'd like to be, because those guys deserved it, their time as players.
Along with legends, you know, running out the flag coming up on Saturday, there's a huge football game. BYU going to be taking on the number 22 ranked Washington Huskies. And I'm curious, Riley, from week one, where I'm sure you and Greg were at the stadium till about 4 a.m., that rain delay game against the Utes, to now heading into this week, what do you think has been the biggest improvement from week one to now for this BYU offense?
Well, in terms of broadcast, it's gotten shorter a little bit every time. So I'm hoping that we can actually end on time this time. With the hour and 20 rain delay and then double overtime and then single overtime, this
yeah.
might not actually end in regulation.
Might a regulation game. That'd be nice.
Although it is on ABC, so it's a whale of a game. But anyway, as far as the offense goes, they're just what I really loved against USC was taking what the defense gave them, right? I've talked about this with some other people throughout the week, but I loved the quarterback draw call where Zach Wilson scored the last touchdown in regulation, because it was a look that USC had given earlier that when they motioned to empty, USC had no linebacker in the tackle box. And so it was 5-0 linemen versus 4 D linemen. And then all you got to do is create one running lane for Zach, and now he's 12 yards down the field on safeties. And that was something that we didn't see in week one or week two, a design quarterback draw, and we see it pulled out in week three. And the reason why we saw it pulled out was not because they were forcing it, not because it was something they were trying to, you know, make sure got run, but it was something they identified in the defense and they ran it to take advantage of it. And I saw it on that. You saw it on the fake end around playing off the play from overtime in Tennessee. You saw it in some of the passing concepts where they were hitting some hitches and some underneath routes, taking advantage of the soft man coverage at times that USC played. And so that's been my favorite evolution, as well as, you know, Zach had those two interceptions in Utah that all of us want to forget. One of them, I think, was a good play by the defense. The other one was a decision-making error on his part. And since then, it took him a while to get going against Tennessee. But basically, since the second half of Tennessee through this USC game, his decision-making has been incredibly mature and incredibly accurate. There was a couple times against USC when he was running around back there. You're like, oh, man, just get positive yards or throw it away. But he was able to, and that's why we love Zach, because he was able to turn that into some magic by, you know, pushing the ball down the field and things like that. But those are the main things that I've noticed in the offense from week one to week three. And I think they have a solid foundation to build on for week four.
Riley Nelson, former BYU quarterback, also doing the analyst duties on the radio with Greg Wrubell, making the calls. You love taking coaching, Riley. I'm sure Greg is how's it been as him as your head coach in the booth? Has he been giving you some tips? How's it been? I love listening to the breakdowns, and I love how smart that your breakdowns are. And so it's so fun to hear. And, of course, you know, Mark has done such a great job over all the years. But has Greg given you some tips that you take into the booth and you go – does he do some X's and O's broadcast-wise for you?
Yeah, he does, and it's been great. And he's been very good with his feedback. You know, he's been an excellent coach, and that, you know, recognizing I only have 3 broadcasts under my belt, so he's not too hard, and he doesn't get too nitpicky. But after each game, he and I talk. Well, not directly after the game, but a couple of days later, he's had a chance.
Not at IHOP. He doesn't do it at the IHOP on the road.
I'm telling you, man, with these long, Tennessee, we all got back to. I literally got back to my hotel, took a nap for an hour, and then I had to be at the airport.
Wow.
There was no time for IHOP there. But, yeah, if we can get a game and end in regulation, then, yeah, maybe we can go out to eat. But no, after we've had a chance to go, just like game film, right, except this time it's listening to the broadcast, and then go back and I say, hey, this didn't sound quite right to me. What's your opinion here, there? And then he kind of gives me one thing to work on, at least so far. Each week he's given me one thing to, like, hey, let's be really sharp. Like, I'll give you an example. One of them was I would say we and our, and I would speak in the
sure.
first person.
Yeah, yeah.
Or in the plural first person, right?
Yeah, that's Greg. That's Greg 101 right there, baby.
Yeah, exactly. But as a broadcast, and I, like, as much as I am a part of the program, still considering myself to be, for the fans tuning in out there, They want to hear about the team on there and the guys out on the field. So that was one thing, and I'm cleaning up that up as it goes along. And there's been a couple of other tips that it's been great to work through. And it's just like I was as a player, trying to get better every game.
Sure. Real quickly here, we got about a minute left. Tell me what your thoughts are on this Washington team coming to Provo.
Yeah, I think they're solid. I don't think they're they're not near as good as they were last year. But they do have a lot of talent. But that talent's still trying to find its way. As I watched the Hawaii game, Hawaii didn't do themselves any favors on defense. They got pretty much Washington. Anytime they rolled down into man coverage, Washington made a pay for it. And BYU doesn't run a lot of man, or if they do, they've got safety help over top or some zone help underneath. So that bodes well there. And then as I watched the Cal game, Cal was really able to establish a run. They stuck with it. They've got some ultra-athletic dudes who make some big plays, but just play after play, run after run, they didn't. Cal wore them down and tested their mettle to be able to handle a rushing attack, which makes me excited as Tyson Williams has emerged as a workhorse and that offensive line was as good as advertised. So, while I think they're a good and talented team, and you can never count out a Chris Peterson team because they will always be well-prepared, and this Washington team plays with extraordinary effort, I think it'll be a battle on Saturday, but I really do like the Cougars' chances.
All right, Riley, we appreciate you joining the program. Riley Nelson, you can hear me on the radio broadcast with Greg Rebell, the voice of the Cougars, right here on KSL News Radio this Saturday. 8 a.m. pregame next week. This week, it's not as early, so that's good. But, Riles, we're looking forward to hearing from you. Thanks for being with us on the program. Good luck this week.
Yeah, tremendous. Thanks for having me on, and have a good evening.
You bet. Taking the break here. MVPs are next. Plus, you don't want to miss it. Stereotypical BYU fan makes his way into the studio somehow. Stay with us. More to go. It is KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio. All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery. Mitch Harper, BYU's insider here on KSL Sports, KSLSports.com. Cougar Sports Saturday host. And look, I'm just telling you, There's a certain fan that shows up every week, and there is that fan is somebody who's, well, I mean, look, you and I talk about this. The certain fan that shows up, there's a stereotypical Utah fan that shows up every week, and there's a storyline that they have about whatever game they're playing.
Absolutely.
There's a stereotypical Utah and a BYU fan, and they go after each other. And I just like that they just consume one another. We got a phone call from a stereotypical BYU fan of week four of college football. So I just wanted you to be able to hear it. And maybe it sounds a little bit like that weird neighbor you have or that weird cousin. We're still trying to hone in on who it is.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, what's up, Unrivaled? It's a stereotypical BYU fan here. Glad to hear Mitch on the show tonight because I'm a total Mitch guy, dude. Follow Mitch, follow Cougar Tracks everywhere, bro. Like, you're awesome, man. Hey, just wanted to, like, pick up some knowledge on you guys. Dude, if USC beats Utah this week, okay, we're better than Utah. Like, just do the math. And if we beat Washington, and then they lose, and then they beat BYU, if they beat Utah later, then BYU's better than Utah, like, absolutely, right? I mean, so, okay. And if we play Utah this week, I don't think it'd even be a question, dude. I mean, we wouldn't post those guys. We felt ready for week one. So it was like, you know, I mean, Zach Wilson, by the way, I mean, I love the guy. I love how things are going. He's my guy. And, like, I pour out some Bam Bam's barbecue to that guy. But listen, Zach Wilson is not the Marvin Manziel because he's going to have a way better NFL career. And the members of the Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints anyway, okay? So respect that, all right, first of all. And every time you turn on the TV this weekend, you think, guess who you're gonna find us instead, dude. So have a good weekend, you fans. Go Cougs, man.
There's your stereotypical.
Oh,
BYU
that's
fan.
Great. And he's a Mitchite,
right?
Too.
The big
wow.
Fan. We go on the road, we always find those Mitchites. All right, we're gonna kick off this portion of the program. We don't have very long for it, but it's our Unrivaled MVPs. We do them every night.
The Unrivaled MVP. Scott and Alex crowned tonight's most valuable player.
According to Alex.
Uh-huh.
According to Scott. Most valuable player.
All right, Mitch, let's start you up first. I know you got a good one because the Jags and the Titans are playing in the slop. down in Jacksonville. And or is it in Jacksonville?
Yeah, it's in Jacksonville. Yeah, Say no more, fam. I mean, look at Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew is my MVP. I'm telling you, not only is he making Thursday Night Football interesting, Alex, Gardner Minshew is making the Jaguars interesting, and he's doing it with style. He's doing it with swag. This guy's got 111 passing yards and two touchdown passes, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are up 14-0 on the Tennessee Titans right now. But Gardner Minshew from Washington State to now in the NFL, undrafted guy.
Is that what you think about him as Washington State? Because I think he's more of an East Carolina
system quarterback.
I see him more like an East Carolina Pirate, you know, because he had a lot more time there, obviously.
He did get in on that run where they beat BYU
yes,
in 2017. But Gardner Minshew, he's my MVP because I love the swag. I love the confidence.
Mm.
I love that just attitude he's bringing to the NFL. And he loves his story, too. I mean, undrafted guy, and in week two, he's making a name for himself in his rookie year.
So they did a... they did a story on this guy who got his hair cut. So they have like 19 guys in the stands tonight that look like Gardner Minshew. They've got like their chest hair out. They've got everything going for them. Everything's working for these guys. I don't know if there's a better guy to get behind when it comes to like dudes that you want to see succeed. Gardner Minshew with the mustache. And what's funny is that normally if a guy is that cocky and that self-aware and like totally taking advantage of the fact that everybody loves how weird he is, normally I go, all right, dude, you're too much. Not Gardner Minshew. Take advantage of this. He knows this dream might go away in 2 seconds. I mean, he might be traded tomorrow and never have a shot again. But tonight, 13 for 18, 125 yards, two touchdowns at the half, and they lead 14-0. So there you go. I'm going to stay with that Jags theme. Remember we were talking about the whole thing with Jalen Ramsey is just getting more and more exciting. And he revealed why he was he's asking for the trade. He's revealed why he's asking for the trade. Because I got disrespected. That's why.
Put some respect on his name, man.
I was like, Mitch is going to respect this guy because you can't disrespect somebody. You have to respect Jalen Ramsey.
You know okay? I love me some trash talkers, Alex, so I'll put some respect on Jalen Ramsey's name. But this guy is – man, I swear the NFL is having more of these guys that are these divas that try to become bigger than the team, whereas usually you saw this with the NBA – now it's kind of carrying over more into the NFL. It's kind of strange to see that happening in the NFL these days.
I'm okay with it, though, because look, the NBA's fun because the players are more important than the coaches, right?
That's true.
And the NFL's kind of the same way, except for in a handful of, in a handful of places. You think about Bill Belichick, he'll always be bigger than, you know, he's kind of the Phil Jackson of the NFL, which is like, hey, he's the Zen master. Everybody who comes to his team goes there because they want to, like, worship at the championship altar of Bill Belichick.
You might not be able to hear him. He's just mumbling.
No, we have the best. We have the best Coach Belichick. And it basically encompasses all things that come to – I don't even know if I have it anymore. Oh, no, I do. This is Bill Belichick in one soundbite.
Yeah, I like football. I like football season and all the things that go with it.
I like football. I like football season. I like all things go with it.
Preach.
Join us
Preach.
Next hour. KSL's Unrivaled continues.
Please leave a message after the tone.
KSL's Unrivaled, I guess it is. I mean, even on a night you don't let Scott Mitchell say his piece before the game, whatever, dude. Typical Zoobs. And listen, speaking of typical Zoobs, dude, how about talking about their quarterback like he's the new future? Dan Wilson or whatever. I mean, whatever. You know Tyler Huntley is the best quarterback in the state, but the media only wants to talk about this blonde-haired kid whose mom is praying on the sideline. Like, let's get over yourself a little bit, dude. So, by the way, congratulations. It's rivalry week, fellow Utah fans, because USC, of course, is our real rival in the West. Yes. And I don't care what you say. They know it. Clay Helton talked about it this week. Clay Helton knows this is the best and biggest game that he's ever going to play. His job's on the line. He knows it because he's got to be Utah, dude. So, and I just want to say, shout out to my fellow U fans. See you at the Pig Bus this weekend up in the parking lot. Like, you know, let's enjoy some adult beverages or whatever together. because we're adults and we can do what we want. No one can tell us what to do, right? And just wanted to say, it's good to be out of the preseason. Let's celebrate. Let's play, a real game against a real conference opponent in USC, dude, our rivals. Peace!
There's the call from the stereotypical Utah fan. You heard earlier from the stereotypical BYU fan. The storylines keep getting better with those guys all year long, man.
And they always evolve, and they're always on point. Those stereotypical fans are always spot on, and they're bringing the heat every
week.
That's
right. Scott Mitchell joins us on the horn here from Los Angeles. Scott, can you believe the take that stereotypical Utah fan had about the Utes, dude?
To be quite frank with you, I lost him in about the first 2 minutes.
You couldn't understand him after that?
No, I just lost interest.
Oh, what are you talking about? It's your rivalry game this weekend, Scott.
Oh, no, I can talk about the rivalry game.
Oh, there you
sure,
go.
I'd love to.
There you go. All right, so the Utes are prepping for USC. I heard their flight left a little late from the airport. What happened?
Apparently, there was an engine light on, and the plane they had to sit around for a while. And they usually beat the other plane there, but they didn't. So they are here. They got to the hotel, and I think everyone's fine and ready to go.
Yeah. Does that irk?
You have to just kind of roll with that stuff.
No, I know.
That's part of traveling.
But I just feel like Kyle can't roll with any of that kind of stuff, though.
Well, no, you believe me. You like things to run perfectly, and there are people that's their job. And I guarantee you, they probably freak out when something doesn't go right, because there's a lot of planning, a lot of prep, and it's like the president flying on Air Force One. It's kind of that same type of importance. And so, yeah, it's they're not going to be happy about this happening.
Scott, I got to say,
it happened.
I feel like this game for Utah tomorrow night, it feels like a real opportunity for the Utes to make a statement nationally and make kind of an announcement that they have arrived and they're in the mix for the college football playoff. Would you agree with that?
Well, USC is such a recognized program. It is the marquee program in the Pac-12, and it certainly has a national presence. And so, yeah, I mean, we all know that everything goes through USC, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. And you have to play well. You have to beat them. There's a sense around here, and it's from the USC people. There's not this kind of fight that there normally is. I think they're recognizing that maybe the Clay Hilton era is over.
Ooh.
But just from the buzz that we've heard around here is that folks aren't ready to rally the Trojan horse and make something happen.
That's how they get you, though, Scott. You know that's how they do it. The USC fans.
I know you're going to say that too, and I'm just telling you what the sense is from people. This Utah team has been dialed in all season long,
right?
And I guarantee you they will be ready to play tomorrow night. They will relish this moment. They believe they can win here. They believe that they want to show people how good they really are.
That, I mean, I totally believe it, because the same thing happened in Tennessee when like a fan base kind of turns on their team a little bit and goes, "Hey man, this is good luck, because it's not happening for us this year."
I mean, you were describing to me when you were out and about with people. It's that same. I've been having that same kind of experience here.
Interesting.
And I haven't quite been out and about as much as you have, or been here that long. But there's just kind of that sense here that's what's going on. Hey, I want to know, how did you get Ty Detmer on our show when I'm not around?
No, that was the reason that's the only reason he agreed to do it. And so that was the that was kind of the no. Mitch made a call. He's doing the
Ty Detmer. I'll just tell you what.
I know, but he's carrying the alumni flag this weekend, and so he's going to be back for the first time.
Oh.
Back at Lavelle Edwards Stadium since being dismissed as the coach. And so it's an interesting dynamic. And it was an interesting conversation too, because if you go back and listen to it, it's like, how did they, what was that phone conversation like when they asked you to come back? And it was like, I have a pretty good relationship with these guys. He's the common denominator in all this about being a cool guy about it. Like
he is.
He's like, he's so nice about it. And he's like, look, I get it. He's like, yeah, it didn't go well coaching. It's fine. You know, it's like I'm not gonna try to make any excuses. I'm not gonna try to do anything. And I think that we all looked at it and went, that was a bad look for BYU. I mean, it was a bad look to let this guy go. But yeah, anyway, it was an interesting conversation. But let's get back to the Utes here. Kyle Whittingham dialing in against USC. Tyler Huntley has been wildly accurate, Scott. This entire
he's been extremely wildly accurate.
No, I want to say though, they have been like uber efficient here, and you've talked about kind of this business mentality of it. And I know everybody likes to talk about how, boy, they've never won down as a Pac-12 team down at the Coliseum. It's been 100 years, blah blah blah. In the end, though, this feels like a different USC team, and it feels like more importantly, it feels like a different Utah team going out to LA now.
Here's one thing, and I can speak to this from my experience. Tyler Huntley, this offense is being tailored around him, and when you have a system that accentuates your strength, you can play so much more confident, so much more free, and so much more efficient. When it's around you, when you're forced to do things that you're not comfortable with or you're not sure about, it makes it really hard. And Andy Ludwig so far has just done a brilliant job of dialing this up to fit, not Zach Moss. Zach Moss is a component of this, but the whole offense really, really focuses around what Tyler Huntley can do. Because of course, Zach Moss can't throw the ball. And so, it's been really good, and it's going to be exciting to see what actually unfolds this week and even the rest of the season. I just am really excited to watch this game. I just get a sense that this Utah football team is really excited and ready to be here.
You know, and Scott, I got to say, I look at this matchup, and top to bottom, from 1 to 85, the scholarship players, Utah's got the edge. I mean, they got the better roster than USC, but is there some sort of matchup that maybe makes you pause and kind of you're really curious to see how it plays out, that maybe USC might have a puncher's chance of being competitive in this thing?
Well, the one thing is the wide receiver core for USC is just super strong, and the, you know, Jalen Johnson for Utah corner, Javelin Guidry, those guys are seasoned guys. Julian Blackman is a seasoned guy. Now he's playing safety. Even Terrell Burgess, the strong safety, got a lot of playing time last year. But it's that other corner. It's Josh Nurse and Tariq Lewis that are these newer corners. You're like, oh, that to me, and they're good. They're very athletic. They've looked really good so far, but they're untested in Pac-12 play. They're right. Untested at the Coliseum against these really good receivers, and if you get these bad matchups where USC can win and bail out the quarterback where he gets these easy throws, that's the only thing that makes me nervous. Now there's a lot of other things about Utah's defense that I'm excited about,
right?
But that's the one thing that just kind of concerns me a little bit.
Scott Mitchell's in LA, of course. He's usually hosting with me here in the studio, KSL's Unrivaled, and calling the game with Bill Riley tomorrow, a Friday night matchup. I love that there's a game on a Friday night. And it's fun to watch these matchups. And a big game on a Friday night like that is good too, because you don't have much competition on TV, and so it'll be a big one. Lots of eyes on that game. When it comes down to it, you know, I think that, I mean, you and I have talked about this quite a bit, but with LA, with USC and what Clay Helton's going through pressure wise, and I keep thinking about this freshman kid Slovis, who came off of a week where he had some pressure that he wasn't necessarily used to, and he's going to get even more from Utah. And so I think that putting pressure on this guy all day is going to be a real problem for that USC offense, because if they're not throwing, if he can't throw to those guys, then it doesn't matter about that wide receiver core.
Yeah, it appeared that the offensive line was having a bit of a challenge last week with BYU only rushing three players. Utah will rush four and more. and if Bradley Anae is not, if he is not a guy that like they double team or they have the back help with, Bradley Anae could have a really, really big night tomorrow night, along with the other guys. I mean, they're all doing really well, but they know how to disrupt and make a young quarterback feel uncomfortable. And it's certainly that combination of the pass rush and the secondary look. And that's another fascinating storyline to watch unfold in the game. How uncomfortable does Utah make Caden Slovis? And so along with everything else that's going on, it'll certainly be something to kind of dial in as you're watching the game.
Did you have a tomahawk steak tonight?
with ketchup on it.
There you go. Absolutely. There you go, Mahomes. There you go. All right, Scotty, be safe down there. Have fun. And looking forward to the call tomorrow night with you guys.
See you, Scott.
All right, thank you. See you.
Taking the break. We got more to go. Hey, Dave McCann's going to enter the studio. I thought it'd be unfair for Scott to be kind of on the phone, Mitch, and have Dave in studio. It's like giving Dave the higher ground right off the bat.
That would be tough.
Although Scott can handle himself in any situation, I'm convinced. Taking the break here, we'll come back. Dave McCann, KSL5 Television, going to join us. Give us a breakdown. I want to also hear from you, Mitch, some of the injury possibilities for this weekend, some of the people that may or may not be available for BYU. Those could be key against Washington, a very strong Washington team. Coming right back, more to go. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery. Scott Mitchell on the road in Los Angeles. Of course, the Utes are taking on USC tomorrow night, and he's going to be calling the game with Bill Riley tomorrow. We can hardly peel Dave McCann away from the Chicago Cubs bottom nine as Schwarber's at the plate here, and they're trailing their divisional foe, the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, we've been awful all night. Now all of a sudden we got a couple of guys.
Well, listen, by the way, Mitch Harper joining me tonight. He's the host of Cougar Sports Saturday and Cougar Track. Schwarber, boy, he's about to go down swinging here, buddy. You guys have been struggling in the NL Central. You have any comment on that? Or
yeah, we haven't played good. Been hurt and not playing very good.
So probably not World Series champs 2019 is what you're saying.
No, probably not. No. We're just trying to make the playoffs.
Yeah, at this point, hey, get that second spot in the old wild card. It'd be nice.
Yeah, but the thing with baseball is you get what you earn.
It's true.
You get what you earn. If you have good pitching, good hitting, sure, you're playing good, that's what you get. And if you don't, you can't fake it.
Some guys can catch fire in the playoffs, but it's pretty rare unless you have some shutdown aces on the mound. Yeah.
Now, if we can load the bases here, then things will be.
It's hard to peel Dave away from the Cubs, even in studio. Schwarber with a dinker down the line there. All right,
Schwarber.
So here's the deal, Dave.
Nice volleyball win tonight for BYU.
Upset the Utes, right? No, they didn't upset them. Yeah. Sorry. But beat the Utes up at the Huntsman.
Women's soccer as well.
And the soccer team won over on the road at 14th ranked Kansas.
So that's pretty nice. That's good stuff.
Setting the tone for Saturday.
Let me ask you this. The Huskies coming to town. We had Riley Nelson on tonight, and Riley said they're not nearly as good as they were last year. That's true.
Because they were really, really good on defense.
Here are my thoughts, though, because I think the same thing happened when Wisconsin came to town and took on BYU here at home a couple of years ago. Then the following year in Madison, they weren't nearly as good as a team as they were the year before when they came into Provo and took it to BYU. I think the same type of thing.
But they were supposed to be. I mean, they were supposed to be, and they were figured to be contenders in the Big Ten.
But I'm saying that I think that a lot of it, I think that there's a similar feeling there. BYU is improved. And certainly Washington is not the Washington that absolutely shut them down last year up in Seattle. I was at that game, and I remember thinking, man, it was a long game. It was 35-0, and BYU kind of eked out a touchdown at the very end, and that was a nasty game.
Remember, the game changed early, just before halftime, when Lapina Katoa fumbled the football on, like, the 15-yard line.
Yes.
Then it's 21-0 instead of 14-0, and BYU gets the ball to start the third quarter. They weren't going to win that game. Tanner Mangum was not going to win that game, but they weren't going to get blown out. And going to the locker room down 21, that was it. That was over. This year, BYU won't be sneaking up on Washington. And, it's Washington's first road game with their new quarterback.
Still a lot of questions about Easton,
Georgia,
yeah.
But it's their first time. And you know what? The crowd really bugged USC. They bugged their quarterback. Is that the most
excitement you've seen in Lavelle Edwards Stadium?
In a long time.
Was it the best win in the past decade, you think, at home?
Probably.
Because, I mean, you think about Utah 2009 and then, what, Texas 2013? I I think it might be the best one.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. The Boise State Hail Mary was probably as exciting.
But BYU didn't play well in that game.
No. Yeah. And they were ranked in the kind of upper 20s, Boise State was. But it was the excitement of the finish, I think, that did it. It was the pick six after the Hail Mary on top of it. But I haven't seen Lavelle Edwards Stadium in that frenzy since – probably that 09 win over Utah. That's something to be said. Yeah. That means this weekend you will have more people. That's how you get more people out to the stadium, is you get more – is people go, man, that was fun. They watch people. And I know BYU got a lot of trash talkers who go, why would you rush the field when you just beat a bad USC team? And I'm going,
well, those are idiots. Those are idiots. USC's ranked they're ranked in the top 25, and the game ends on a deflected interception in front of the student section in overtime. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
If BYU was ahead by 10 and ran the clock out, they wouldn't have stormed the field.
I was saying, too, that no, you wouldn't storm.
It was just the moment.
And you wouldn't and this is something I think that the Kalani culture is, too, right? I don't think people storm the field even if Bronco beats USC right there, because that wasn't really the vibe that he gets. Kalani wants this party, atmosphere.
If it was a Van Noy tipped pick interception to seal the win, you react as a fan. And where are they going to go? They're going. The students are going down with their fellow students. And you know, if they beat Washington by 25 points, they won't storm the field on Saturday. If they win on a tipped ball in the end zone for a touchdown, fans react. And you know, and thank goodness, it's why you go. It's why you overpay for prices and sit in the sun. It's hot. You're with your kids. What are you going to do? You know what? We're going down. I watch fathers and sons climb over the ledge down onto the turf to celebrate that win on Saturday. And it's like, you know what? More power to you. That's what college sports is all about.
You know what, Dave? In the preseason, you were one of the few guys that had a lot of confidence or optimism about BYU's chances in these four Power Five games. BYU sitting at 2-1, and they're going into this Washington game, I think, feeling a pretty confident team. Are you still confident about their chances against the Washington Huskies?
Sure. You take care of the football, you have a chance to win. If BYU had taken care of the football against Utah, they would have beaten Utah. Turned it over three times, gave them 20 points. You do that to any team on the schedule. You do it to Liberty, and you got your hands full. Give any team, and especially in a P5 level football, give them 20 points. And you know what? That's on you. So it's not like, well, you know, it's on BYU. They were the lesser team that night against Utah. They were not against Tennessee. They didn't turn the ball over. They forced one. They were not against USC. They didn't turn the ball over. They forced three. That's what teams do to win. So the recipe is the same against Washington. Force them into more mistakes than you make. You don't have to play perfect. But I like BYU. Now, BYU's banged up, and I'm sure you've talked about that. But when healthy, I like BYU's 22 against any of these four teams, meaning the 11 starters on defense and the 11 starters on offense. Now you get banged up, and you get into your second and third strings, and the advantage is to the P5 schools. That's just common intelligence. But so going into Saturday, is it a big challenge? You bet. Are they underdogs? Yeah, they've been underdogs in the other two, and they were underdogs against Utah. So what's the key? Turnovers. Take care of the ball. Put the pressure on them. Get the crowd involved. Maybe they storm the field. Maybe they don't, depending on how the game ends. And get to 3-1 and get in the top 20 and hang on. Have a great season. I mean, it's all right there for them. You can't be 3-1 if you're 1-2. So a shot at 3-1 is legit. But they got to take care of the football.
You know, the depth conversation is interesting. Do you think there's ever going to be a way that they can, you know, build that depth as an independent, because they're not limited to the Group of Five label? I mean, BYU is kind of in their own silo, if you will, but still that depth is going to be a challenge. Do you think that'll
ever... It's always going to be a challenge.
But it's improving, though, under Kalani, I think.
It's getting better, but they have 76 missionaries on their roster.
Right.
That's 2 years away and 1 year back to get your stuff back, and some junior college guys will be important. Some grad transfers like Tyson Williams have been amazingly important. But you know what? That's part of what BYU is. They support the mission program. They encourage kids to go on missions. And the cost of that might be, I got a scholarship committed at linebacker. I got three of them on their missions. And I got one right now, and I got a backup redshirt guy just trying to hold the gap. But Dave, I like their chances on Saturday.
I look at us like a good luck charm.
What happened?
4-3, one out, runners on the corner.
Okay, see you guys.
Dave McCann is out. The Cubs are down one run. We're going to take the break. Thank you, Dave. When we come back, more to go. KSL's Unrivaled continues. We've got so much more to cover. Plus the two-minute drill. Mitch's first two-minute drill. It's going to be a good one. Stay with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Thursday. Scott Mitchell, of course, on the road. The Utah Utes taking on the USC Trojans in the Coliseum tomorrow night. So we're Scott's on a nice chartered flight, I'm assuming, just eating the snacks, hanging out. And I told him, I said, look, you might be going to Los Angeles, but I get to interview Luke Robitaille while you're gone. And so he goes, oh, I interviewed Luke last year. And when you guys came into town last year, we got to chat with you for a little bit, or at least Scott did for a few minutes. I was out of town for another football game. So now we're doing the switcheroo. So Luke Robitaille, with, of course, with the L.A. Kings with us, an NHL legend in his own right. So thanks for hanging out with us,
Thank
Luke.
You. Did you get a charter last year when you went to do the
Scott
other game in Peanuts?
No. I have to fly. I have to fly commercial. Scott gets the nice chartered flight.
It's a nice life,
Yeah. He gets the exit row. He's all sorts of excited. So, look, the L.A. Kings coming into town to take on the Vancouver Canucks.
Yep.
We've done this thing here in Salt Lake where we have these preseason games that are over here at Vivint Arena, and man, the public shows up for these games. And I always look at myself and go, I always look around and go, why don't we do this more often? I mean, we are an Intermountain city. Denver has an NHL team. Why is it that we love the NHL when they show up? How come we can't get an NHL team right here to Salt Lake?
It's coming. You got to build it first. You know, you got to keep coming. Next thing you know, someone will say, hey, wait, I think this could work. You know, and it is a great city. Last year, we had a lot of fun playing the game, and we're looking forward for this year again. And, you know, it's one of those things. You keep coming. You keep doing the right thing. Look, there's kids coming out, like, you know, Trevor Lewis on our team is from the area, and there's more kids playing, and that's how you grow a game, you know.
Let me ask you about the side of the sport where, you know, I played football growing up, and I watch people now, and I see fewer and fewer people playing football. I'm going to talk about the injuries and whatever. What has hockey done to make sure? Because, if you're going to – one of the most brutal sports on the planet, you think about football. But, man, hockey is – I will get the most winded on a pair of skates that I'll ever get when you're – I mean, honestly, and when they talk about – you can just judge a sport by its gear. If it's – the more it stinks – the harder the sport is, right?
So it must be a real hard sport, hockey, then.
It's like some of the stinkiest gear you'll get. Football's got nothing on hockey. Yeah. This is a really, really hard sport. I don't know if the youth is it growing as a sport? Because sometimes we wonder about football, but is hockey one of those sports people look at and they go, yeah, hockey is on the rise?
It's on the rise, especially in the U.S. It's really been growing. I mean, this year at the draft, there was, I think it was 9 or 10 kids from the U.S. development program that were drafted in the first round. And there's all kinds of kids getting drafted from the leagues called the USHL, and we're constantly recruiting NCAA kids. So there's more and more hockey coming out. There's more kids playing. So, like, even out of L.A., we have a lot of kids going to Division I. And this year, one of the kids that was drafted in the first round was from Orange County in Southern California. So there's a growth movement. You know, there's still a lot of room because there's so many people here. I mean, there's a shortage of arena, obviously, like anywhere. That's probably the hardest part about our sports. But there's more and more kids playing, like ball hockey, we call it, just with their shoes. And from that standpoint, it's really growing.
So when I was a kid, and this is, I think about like middle school in the 90s, early 90s, it was a big movement of the roller hockey, you know.
Yeah,
that's
remember
what,
that?
Huge. I mean, roller hockey was massive. Everybody had their rollerblades, and everybody's going out. And I was living in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Uh-huh. The North Stars move out of Minnesota, and they move to Dallas. And I remember my dad saying, a hockey team in Dallas. Yeah, right.
And then they won.
And the Dallas Star. I mean, the Stars became a – the community embraced them. Huge. I mean, they're selling out Reunion Arena from day one. I mean, I remember going to hockey games as a kid and going – that's why we got into roller hockey, because we were like, man, this is awesome. It's a fun sport to watch. What when people haven't seen a hockey game? I mean, we have the Grizzlies out here that play out here at the Maverick Center, and that's just such a fun environment. I mean, it's really good hockey, and I think that most people are surprised when they go to a hockey game. They go, this is a lot of fun. What do you try to tell people who go, I've never really gotten into hockey?
I think the biggest thing about our game is. it translates real well live. So if you see it live two, three times and you start understanding the game, then most people, like we've had the same thing in L.A. We had to teach a lot of fans the game. So they would come and see one game and two games. They got hooked. And then next thing you know, they start watching on TV because they understand, they remember what they've seen live. It is the greatest game by far to see live because it constantly moves.
The speed
and
is
when
ridiculous,
you see it
then, yeah.
And the speed, and it never stops. You know, there's always something happening. And
I'm always
why,
amazed when you watch live too. I'm always amazed how when the line changes happen. You're watching
it
and you
just
go,
happen while you're
you
playing.
Go, oh, hold on a minute, like like you don't see that part on TV. You might see him following the puck over in the corner, and then suddenly it's a new line that's on the ice, and you go, man, these guys are. That's why you have to shift around so much because it is brutal on
it's
the
hard.
Cardio. I feel like.
It's hard. Like I've retired now 13 years, you know, and I played hockey, and every once in a while when I go skate, I'm like, oh. I thought riding a bike was enough. I am totally out of shape. It's a hard sport on the heart. You got to be in real good shape.
Luke Robitaille, he's the president of the LA Kings. They're coming to town, taking on the Vancouver Canucks, a preseason matchup over here at Vivint Arena. It's just vivintarena.com, right? So we get tickets. Go to get tickets, vivintarena.com. If you haven't seen a live hockey game, I mean, this is such a it's such a fun sport, so fast, like you were saying. And there's a dedicated group of people who are like giant hockey fans in our city. And so if you haven't seen one before, go check it out. And it's going to be a lot of fun. What do you do? Like, what's your day-to-day as the president of the team? Like, now you're at the front office. Mm-hmm. How does that translate from being the former athlete to being the administrator now on a huge franchise?
So someone asked me that the other day. I said, so what do you do every day? I said, I think I'm a fireman. I put out fire all day long.
that's all of us to an extent. But like, I feel like when you're, but like, how much of it do you get to like get down and like talk to the players face to face and go, hey man,
you know, you got to respect the structure of the team, and as a president, I think it's important that I'm always aligned with our coach and our general manager, that we all speak the same language. You know, we have a lot of young kids come into our system right now, so it's important. Like for me, I always feel that I try to deliver more the positive message. So if they're doing something wrong, obviously we'll address it. But more importantly is the message of the organization, the way we want to compete, the way we want in style, like the structure of our organization, the way we're going to play. There's different systems in hockey. We want to make sure everybody's on board to pull the rope. And then we won that way. We won that way in 2012, 2014. We still have a few veterans from that era. But it's important for us that we've been reloading our team the last two, 3 years. So that, you know, I'm really focused on that right now. Obviously, you want to make sure you do everything right for your fans and everybody that's attached to the organization. And it's, you know, it's a big staff. We got like 150 people, so it's something we constantly have to work on.
Does it shock you when, like, I love to watch that places like Nashville or Dallas, or, I mean, Nashville especially is like this crazy hockey town now. It's like,
Nashville
in the middle of Tennessee.
So much fun. You go to a Nashville game. I don't know how they did it, but somehow their fans have all these sayings, like, during the game. And literally, all 18 or 19,000 people will chant the same thing. And it's like a full poem and so forth.
It's like a soccer match over in England or something.
It is really neat to attend their games. Yeah, they've done a good job.
When people are coming to the hockey game on Saturday over here, Vivint Arena, vivintarena.com are the tickets. So what would you tell somebody who's going, I've never been, or, you know, I'm interested in maybe taking a look. What's the pitch you make somebody who's never really been to a hockey game before?
Just really enjoy, like, seeing the speed and watch what the guys are saying. You know, obviously, you always want to see the big stars, the Kopitar, the Doughty, the Jonathan Quick, and, you know, on the other side, the kid Peterson's a new kid for Vancouver. He's a superstar. You know, the Brock Besser is a new kid that they signed. But go there and enjoy the athleticism of those guys. Yeah, that's a tough word.
Yeah, it is.
But it really is amazing to see what they can do on skates. And then they got to handle the puck, and then they make passes, and guys are going 30 miles an hour. It truly is a great game to watch.
Luke Robitaille, president of the LA Kings, joining us here on KSL's Unrivaled. Luke, thanks for hanging out, and good luck to you guys. Keep everybody
healthy
before the season.
Yeah, that's
the
key. You know, it's a big year for us, and you want to stay healthy in professional sports.
VivintArena.com is the website, and we'll come back. More to go right here on the program. Stay with us on KSL News Radio.
You probably heard that online.
Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. A little bit of K-pop. I know you're into it, Mitch. Come on.
Oh, I love this. You know me all too well. Without Scott here, you can bring out the K-pop. I can get down with this. I love me some K-pop. We're near the end of the show, so I'm feeling it. I got a good vibe now, man.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, Mitch Harper of Cougar Sports Saturday and Cougar Tracks fame. And, yes, there are Mitchites that are out there,
yes,
as we heard earlier from the stereotypical BYU fan. Every week you're going to get stereotypical Ute fan and stereotypical BYU fan. Their messages are very simple. They're misunderstood. That's the number one, is they're misunderstood.
They truly are misunderstood, so. And it's a great thing that we have the stereotypical fans part of KSL's Unrivaled.
They got to call in and just give their two cents, man. So all right. So Mitch, this is the first time we've done this together.
It is
just you and I. But very special part of the program here. We're going to do what Scott and I usually do overnight, which is the two-minute drill. Let me explain how the two-minute drill goes. This classic music as the backdrop gives us the opportunity to do the two-minute drill. The two-minute drill goes like this. It's the last part of the show. Got to drive down. Got to score. Okay? Boom. And as Scott puts it, if you don't score, we cut the kicker just because we don't like the kickers. So there you go. So right off the bat here, these are stories that, frankly, we just had a chock full show. And if you missed any of it, you can go back, download the podcast, and hear legendary BYU quarterback Ty Detmer, hear what Riley Nelson has to say about the Washington game this weekend, and boy, we just have tons going on. So it's been a fun show. So go back, download, subscribe, rate it, and review all that. But right off the bat here. And I thought this was an interesting deal for me because if you look at some of the stories that pop up, there were some that we just kind of point and laugh and go, ha ha. This is one of those that I did not like because I hate hearing these types of things. Currently, the 1998 Heisman Memorial Trophy owned by Longhorn running back Ricky Williams is up for auction. And I never liked seeing that. When you see Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, Tyrone Carter selling his Super Bowl from 2005, you kind of go, okay, I can see that. That's going to go for $80,000. Estimated at $500,000, Mitch, the Heisman Trophy. That's always a sad thing when I see these guys selling their Heisman. Now, with Ricky, you never know if it's like because he just is like sticking it to the man. He doesn't care.
Well, that's the thing with him is that he's staying true to his brand with this. I mean, most guys I'm like, yeah, that's really sad to see that a legend is giving up his hardware that he worked so hard to get. But with Ricky Williams,
he just doesn't like the institution, man.
I feel like I'm picturing Ricky Williams just like laying back one night with his buddies, just being like, "I'm gonna sell that thing." Looking like, "I'm gonna sell that thing over there." They're like, "No, you won't. You won't put
you
that.
Watch.
Up.
You I'm
watch. Gonna do it." Like that's how I'm picturing Ricky Williams.
You left out the
up.
Part where he was smoking weed.
Yes.
That's the part you left out.
That is the key point to everything with Ricky Williams. But I think it's kind of like staying true to brand with him. So, if it was like Ty Detmer, the guy we had on earlier, I'd be crushed. Because that's what's going on with Ty? Like, is everything all right?
Yeah.
But with Ricky Williams, like, it doesn't surprise me with this guy.
I don't
guy.
Know. It's just interesting because somebody found it and they said, hey, man, Ricky Williams is selling his Heisman Trophy. And I can't help but go, well, one, like that's the definition of kind of who some of these guys are. But I think for a guy like Ricky Williams, you're right. I mean, he's like, no, it's not. Like, I mean, it's a trophy that I won. Yeah. I mean, but this is not that far away in the distant past, in the very recent past, for me to go, man, Ricky Williams tore it up as that Texas running back. That iconic number 34 on those burnt orange jerseys, and then going to the league. Doing helmet interviews with people afterward. Like, I just think it's a sad deal. But I look at that trophy. It's a massive trophy. If I had $500,000, what I hope is somebody does one of these things where they buy it and then they give it back to him. McConaughey.
That would be great.
Where are you at?
The thing is with Ricky Williams, too, is he's a guy that, you know, what he did, he shockingly retired out of nowhere, kind of like Andrew Luck style. But, again, this is what he does.
It's kind of his thing.
He was such a good football player, though, at Texas. I remember that iconic run he had where he set the all-time career rushing record. Really liked
Ricky Williams. 2 minute drill. I'm liking this.
So far, so good.
It's different than the K-pop music. I do like this historic NFL Films music.
Absolutely.
Another story I wanted to bring up to you, Alex. USC president says they do not want to hire Urban Meyer as the head coach. Now, okay. USC, they've got a new president. They got a new regime.
False.
Wait, was this
was this a quiz? False.
They're claiming they don't want Urban Meyer as the head coach.
That's what I say too. Well, that's what I would say as soon as I was about to hire Urban Meyer. Like, when was the last time people? I don't take any of this seriously. There's no stinking way. Listen, USC is all about winning, and Clay Helton is an amazing coach. He's an amazing person. He like grows. I believe in what Clay Helton does, but you know what? You won a Rose Bowl 2 years ago or in 2016. That's it. That's the only thing I remember you from. And then you had a 5-7 season. People are like, he's out. I don't want him in. But Clay Helton is a great dude and a great coach. USC doesn't care. They don't care about anything. They don't have morals, Mitch. They don't. And so, speaking of Heisman trophies that have been sold and/or given back to the NCAA, I mean, there's just no way he's out of the conversation.
Call me crazy, though, Alex. I kind of believe this story because USC, to me, they think they have a big picture as far as wanting to win, sure. But the thing is that they've bungled so many hires at USC that it wouldn't shock
me. But that's how you know there would not be a bungled hire with Urban Meyer. He'd make him national champ next year.
He is automatic. If USC hires him next year, he's going to elevate USC to the top. But I think they truly.
You're saying problematic. It's not good optics.
I think the USC president, they want to have a clean resume. I think they want to have a clean cut program because this is a program that's been mired in scandal. I mean,
thanks, Lori Loughlin. Appreciate it. So thanks, Aunt Becky.
I don't think they want to deal with the scandals that come with Urban Meyer because this guy's got a checkered past from his days at Florida and Ohio State. And yeah, his winning, but also he's a short term guy. He's not a long term fixer. And I think USC wants to be set for the long term. So, in a way, Alex, I kind of believe that this story that he might not be target number one. If, in fact, the day comes that USC is getting a new head coach.
apparently, you know, we know that Jalen Ramsey wants out from the Jags. The culture there, he doesn't like it. And Jalen Ramsey, look, all-pro corner. This is a shutdown guy. One of the best in the league, right? I mean, but here's the deal. If you are Jalen Ramsey and you say, I want out, and my joke has been, that's fine, trade him to the Dolphins. They got to get guys. Might as well. He wants a trade, send him to the Dolphins. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, one NFL team asked the league whether they could actually use Jalen Ramsey this weekend if they were to acquire him after the game that is playing right now on TV, Mitch. Hey, asking for a friend. He just asking for a friend real quick. Could Jalen Ramsey, if we acquire him tonight, Friday at midnight, could we play him on Sunday? You know what's crazy? Jalen Ramsey would do it.
Oh, he would.
Jalen Ramsey would show up in a New York Giants uniform and play corner for them, probably be the best corner play they've had in years.
I'm loving the theme of the 2 minute drill. I don't know if it's always this kind of crazy theme, crazy guy.
It's always
theme,
a little bit crazy.
But Jalen Ramsey, he's a trash talker. He's the guy, if you remember, he went to GQ magazine, was like talking smack on
about
every
quarterback
everyone.
That he could.
He's just like, this guy's terrible. This guy can't.
OBJ can't catch.
He was talking so much smack, and then his team nosedive last year. So Jalen Ramsey was a big talker, but didn't really back much up last season. It'll be interesting to see if he does get traded. I personally, Alex, for my biases, I'd like to see him with the Oakland Raiders, eventually the Las Vegas Raiders, and he's expressed he'd like to be in Las Vegas.
That seems like
a perfect match.
You mean our Las Vegas Raiders.
That's right. That's right. The Las Vegas Raiders,
it's
baby.
New team, man. It's my new team. Bringing him in. All right. We're bringing it in. Mitch, you have fun tonight?
Oh, I had a lot of fun, Alex. This was such a great time. I appreciate the chance to be on, man.
Hey, tomorrow night, Mitch is going to be back, only he'll be with Matt Biamonte of Cougar Sports Saturday. They're going to be hosting Unrivaled tomorrow, and they promise it's not going to be all BYU. They're going to have to go deep on everything else, too. I'll be up in Logan calling some Game Night Live for TV. And we've got a chock-full weekend for Mitch, our producer Jeremy, Josh hitting all the buttons. I'm Alex Keery.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.